Can you hear me? Hello, everyone. Hello. Praise the Lord. I want to try not to keep this too long. I know that we want to try and get out of here as quick as we can before the fake starts. I think it starts at 12, so we've got about half hour. But I want to bring what I believe the Lord has prepared for me or give me to speak about this morning. And I just want to have a look. There's different ways of reading the Bible when there's different ways of studying the Bible. I suppose there's only one way to read the Bible. You just read it. So there's different ways of studying it. You can study, you can just read it through and allow the Lord to speak to you. In many ways he does it. You can do a theme where you can think about the thing that God wants you to talk about or think about or study, whether it's love, whether it's patience, or you study them things. And there's also character studies, so about different people. So whoever you're looking at, you can study everything about that person. And this morning, I want to talk about the greatest man that ever lived. Go on.
John the Baptist.
Trick question, yeah, because everyone says Jesus. But Jesus said, no greater man is born than he. So we have to take what Jesus said as the truth. So John the Baptist I want to look at this morning. And so if you turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. To Luke chapter 1, the miracle. We start at verse 5. And this was, his birth was in many ways a miracle because of what had taken place. And let's just read it in Luke chapter 1 and verse 5. It says this. There was in those days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zechariah, of the division of Abijah. His wife was also the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they both were righteous before God, walking in the commandments of the Lord, blameless. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and they both were advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as the priest before God in the order of the division according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense. When he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense, then the angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel of the Lord said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, because for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you should call his name John. Now, here we have some interesting points here when we start this. And I think the most interesting thing for me in my study of this throughout the years, even when we went through the book of Luke, was to understanding the names, understanding the names of the parents. So what does Zechariah mean? Zechariah's name means God remembers. God remembers. That's his name. Elizabeth's name means God's oath, God's promise, if you like. So his mother and father was God remembers his promise. That was their names. He's from the tribe of Abijah. Abijah means my father is God, or Jehovah. My father is God. So what a good name that is. Children's names, Abijah, my father is God. That's what he's naming. So he was from the tribe of Abijah. His father is God. His name was God Remembers. His father remembers. And his wife's name meant his promise. So they had a son and called him John. I suppose in their names it was Johanan or Jonathan. But John we see here. And his name meant God is gracious. God is gracious. So even in the naming of the mother, the father and the son gives you the understanding of what Jonathan was come to do or what John was going to do. That was in the understanding. So in biblical times, people's names meant something. It meant it had a meaning behind it. So not so much today, because Joseph's name means
he shall add.
Different people's names mean something, but in the biblical time it was like they was named, it was like their names went back. They did live their life and then they named them. It wasn't like that. Their names were given at the beginning and they lived up to their names because that's how it was. And when you think about the mother and father here, he's old in years. Oh, he's an old man now. She's an old woman now. And God has heard his prayers. What was their prayer? Give me a child or give me a son. That was their prayer. What a prayer that is. And he's praying for this to be answered. And then whilst it's his turn, he goes in and the Lord tells him that he's going to get a son. And he disbelieves. He doesn't believe. Why doesn't he don't believe because of the age. They're too old. What dream's long gone. That dream's so far past now, we've outlived that dream. That never happened. Not with God. And why was he this man that doubted? Why would he doubt this? Well, because of his age. But he shouldn't have doubted. Why shouldn't he have doubted? Well, because when you remember the Israelite nation, the Jewish people, where did it all start from? It started from Abraham. What was the problem with Abraham and Sarah? Sarah was in her 90s. So it was his doubt in God. It was his doubt, I'm too old. That was just a nice story years ago where God dealt with Abraham and Sarah. That was a nice story years ago, but God don't deal with that now. He doubted even what made them a nation. Do you understand that he see the miracle in someone else's life, or he believed in the miracle of Abraham and Sarah, but didn't believe in that for himself? And there's a lesson there for all of us. What God can do for me, he can do for you. What God does for others, he can do for you. And what he was doubting here, this Zechariah, he doubted what God, even what he was named. God remembers his promise. God is gracious. That was the story of what was coming. That was the story of Jonathan being born. That was it. He doubted. And the only time that he began to speak, he said afterwards, because he doubted, his tongue stuck to the roof of his mouth. And the angel said to him, you will be a mute until you see this take place. And when it was taken place, they had to name the son. And Elizabeth said, he's going to be called Jonathan or John. We call him Jonathan, but John. And they said, well, no, he should be named after his father. It was their tradition to name him after somebody. Pretty much like us, I suppose. But it was his name, it was tradition to name him after someone. But there was nobody in his family called that. So they asked him, and they give him a something to write the name on. And when he had written the name, and they named the child, his mouth would come loose. He was then he could talk. And it was God showing his parents, God showing him that God had a plan for this boy. And this shall be his name. And his name shall be important. And why shall his name be important? It's because God is gracious. He is gracious to me. He is gracious to you. And it was important at this point that he was named this name. Not something else. It had to be John. God is gracious. In the same book of Luke, if you turn to chapter 3, Luke chapter 3. We're going to pick up about John, where John was. So John now is a man. He's the last of the old prophets. Jesus said this. He said John was the last of the old prophets. It says, now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, of Pontius Pilate, began governing over Judea, and Herod began the tetrarch of Galilee. His brother Philip, the tetrarch of, I'll read the name, Lutria. I should have skipped this verse, shouldn't I? Verse 2, while Ananias and Ananias and Cephas were the high priest. The word of Caiaphas, the high priest. The word of the Lord came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. Now the word of the Lord should have come a different way. It should have come through the high priest. But it is showing the corruptedness of everything that was going on. The corruptedness of the Caesars, Pontius Pilate, the governors, Judea, Philip, the tetrarch. It was how corrupt everything was in Jerusalem at that point, how everything was corrupted. Well, when you read the full story, you read that why he got beheaded was because of that he made comment over the wife of Herod. And then we see here that it was the high priest. There was two high priests here, but there should only be one. And the message of the Lord should have come through them, the high priest. It should have come through them. But it showed you how corrupt everything was. And it says the word of the Lord came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. Where was he at? Where was John's mission? Where did he have to go to preach the word of the Lord? Where did he go? Well, in the wilderness. Where nothing grows, nothing in there. John the Baptist, his mission was to go out into a desert, a dry, barren land, in the middle of nowhere. In the middle of nowhere. Think about that. The word of the Lord has come to you. I want you to go and stand in the middle of nowhere, and this is where I want you to speak. In the middle of nowhere. Why not in Jerusalem? Why not in one of the cities? Why not in the towns? Why not? Why in the wilderness? Yeah, that was his mission. God had spoke to him, I want you to go to the wilderness. Not Jerusalem. Nowhere else, the wilderness. I don't know if I would have been as faithful as John the Baptist. God tells me I want you to go and be a missionary in the middle of the Sahara Desert. That's where I want you to go, I want you to be there. What? There's nobody there, Lord. Surely my ministry would be better off when there's loads of people. No, I want you to go into the middle of the Sahara Desert. What for? I want you to do what I tell you to do. Like, can you imagine them questions? Then when I think of this, I question this. And he went into the region around the Jordan. So he went to the river of Jordan, preaching and baptizing of repentance for the remission of sin, as it was written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying. So we're saying this is the words of Isaiah the prophet that was 450 years before John the Baptist, and John the Baptist is on the scene, and this is the words concerning John the Baptist. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord, making his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill brought low, and the crooked places shall be made straight, and though the ways smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. John the Baptist had a strange mission. A strange, strange mission. What was his mission? To be the voice crying in the wilderness. What a mission that is. I don't want that. I don't. What, Lord, you're saving me to do a work for you. And what is the work that you've got for me? I want you to go into the wilderness, and this is the prophecy over you, that you'd be the one crying in the wilderness. Crying. It doesn't mean weeping tears. It means vocal, like crying out, screaming out, shouting out, talking. Verse 7 says, then he said to the multitudes that came out to be baptized by him. Hold up a minute. He never went to them. They come to him. He never went and found them. They come and found him. Why? Why did they come and find him? Because the message that he had was from the Lord. The message that he had was from God. And I want to tell you something. When you've got something that's from God, when your message is from the Lord, from his word, people will want to hear. People will want to see. Because it's not my words. It's the words of God. What did John the Baptist have? He had the words of God. He had that. So why did people want to come and see? Why did people want to come and see what he had to say? Because he had the words of the Lord. And what was his mission? His mission, what? Was to be what? Just one crying in the desert. One crying in the wilderness. A voice crying. That was his mission, just to be a voice crying. I'm not the prophet. I'm not the one. This is what he was saying. I'm not the Messiah. But there is one. There is one that's coming. There is this one. And the reason and how did he make the path straight? Listen to the message that John the Baptist preached. Right? What a message. Then he said to the multitude who came out to be baptized by him, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? What did he call them? What's a brood of vipers? What did he say to them? Just a load of snakes. What a loving, kind message this is. What a gracious message this is. What did he say? His first part of this message, you brood of snakes. You load of vipers. Who warned you of the wrath to come? Who told you that destruction's coming? Why do you want to come here? Why do you want this? Vipers and snakes, that's what he was calling them. You brood of vipers. Who warned you of the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruit worthy of repentance. He even told them how to bear fruit. Christians here this morning, how do you bear fruit? John had this nailed down here. Bear fruit in keeping in repentance. John the Baptist, how did he live? What was his clothes? Who can tell me his clothes? Camel skin, but that was his clothes, while running with his food. Camel skin. And in his food was honey and locust. That was it. He's out in the wilderness. Camel skin. That's his gonna be his clothes. What's gonna be his food? Honey and locust. Now, I've never tasted a locust. So I don't know what they're like. But for me they're not very appealing. I don't know if anybody else here is appealed by a locust. Like a big grasshopper. Yeah? Seen a few of them about. Is that your style? You like them? They was clean food. They're not unclean. They was clean food. That meant that the Jewish people could eat them. Wild honey and locusts. That was it. He lived his life as a testimony to everybody else around. That no one come to him because of his fancy dress or his purple robes or his way that he would look. They never come to him for that. They never come to him because he was this man that ate fine foods and had a great big feast and table. But he was just an ordinary man going out into the wilderness. His food was what? Honey and locusts. His clothes was what? Camel skin. It wasn't nothing fancy, nothing. Why would somebody go out and listen? Why do you want to go and look at this man? He hasn't got nothing fancy for you to want or desire. He hasn't even eaten the best. He's got nothing. But I'll tell you what he did have. He had the word of the Lord.
Amen.
He had the word of the Lord. What was the message that he was giving? How people could live the way that they want, how they lived the way they wanted, how they done what they wanted. But he called them something. He said, you brood of vipers, you need repentance. Repent. What was the making the path straight? What was making it straight? They lived crooked lives. But they did what they want. They said what they want. They lived how they want. And John the Baptist's message was then, repent. You cannot live your life of sin and expect no consequence. You cannot live a life of sin, die and go to be with the Lord. It don't work that way. Repentance is key for every person. Every person around, every person that can hear, repentance is key. What is repentance? To turn away from what you know is wrong and live right. That's what repentance is. To turn away from what you know is wrong. Those that chore no more. Those that lie no more. Those that fiddle, those that con, those that do the wicked and horrible things, those that get caught up in the rubbish of this world, those that watch things that they shouldn't watch, those that practice immoral behaviour they shouldn't, those that take things that they shouldn't, those they repent and they stop. What was John? Why would these people, why did they want to come and hear that? I've got a life. I'll live my life the way I want. I don't have nobody tell me what to do. I drink what I drink. I eat what I eat. I go where I want. Nobody tells me. Why did this message have such an effect? Why did people want to run out to go to him? In the middle of where? 20 miles away from Jerusalem. Not in a motor. A walk. 20 mile walk into a place where it was a hot, parched, desert, dry land. Why did they go out to him? Because he had the words of eternal life.
Amen.
Repentance is key. And for every Christian in this place, if you're born again, you keep in step with repentance. Do not allow the enemy to creep in. Do not allow the sin that once you conquered come back into your life. You keep in step with repentance. Why did John say? What did he say? You produce fruit by keeping in step with repentance. Do you know what he's saying? Don't get caught up in rubbish. Do you know what I want to tell you something? The beautiful gospel message. But do you know there's no gospel message without repentance? There's no acceptance without repentance. Acknowledging that you are wrong. He was just telling people that they're wrong. You're wrong for the way you're living. You're wrong for the sin. You're wrong for these things. What a message. Therefore bear fruit worthy of repentance. And do not begin to say that you are... you yourself, we are Abram's and our father. Do you know what they were saying? They were saying, don't say to yourself that you're good enough. Like our family, we belong to Abram. We've got pride. We're Jewish people. We can get ourselves in. We see pride in our people. Oh, we can talk our way around it. We can do this. We can do that. Rubbish. Every man is an open book before the Lord, who knows all and sees all. He knows the motives of us all. John's message was something that was so clear. And even now the axe is already laid to the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree which does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. What a picture he was giving. What a message. What a message. Just the simple words. I'll tell you something. Do you know when you look at the words of the Lord, when you look at people who had a message, do you know, plenty of time they're just short and sweet. Short, sweet messages. Plenty of times. We, as preachers, we elaborate on this. I'd like to tell people, my children tell me I over-explain everything. And I suppose if you know me, you talk to me, I do try and over-explain everything. I suppose it comes through preaching. What a plain and simple message. Who warned you? Because you're going to go to hell. Produce fruit. And repent. Repent of your sin. Produce fruit. Christians don't ever lose sight of that. How do we produce fruit?
Amen.
Live a life of repentance and we serve the Lord.
Amen.
John the Baptist, was he somebody who had the word? Most definitely. There was nothing. What a testimony. Do you know the reason why we don't drink and get drunk? Do you know the reason why we don't that? To be a testimony. Do you know Jesus used John the Baptist as his testimony? Because when he came to the Pharisees and said, you eat in the place of sinners, you drink with people, you're just nothing but... And he went, oh yeah, John the Baptist then. What message did he have? He only ate honey and locusts. So what message did he bring? Was he wrong or right? Jesus used John the Baptist, his testimony, to say about himself. He used John the Baptist's testimony. Was he a drunkard? No. So was he of God or not then? And they couldn't answer because it would have made them wrong. His testimony was something great that even Jesus used it as a testimony. Brothers and sisters, their testimony has to be everything. Their testimony has to be everything. Why? Because we want to be able to be used by the Lord. He had a message, and his message was to bear fruit, repent, Repent. That was the message of John the Baptist. And people come out. Do you know, years later, in the book of Ephesians, there were still people that believed in the baptism of repentance. Acts 19, it tells you about that was the Ephesians church, the start of it. 12 men that listened to John the Baptist went to Europe from Israel, went to Europe in Turkey, goes there, and they're still believing in what John the Baptist done. And it wasn't until Paul came there, showed them a more excellent way. Here, this is the Christ, this is what he preached. John the Baptist had disciples, and I'm going to kind of cut this short because of where we're going, but John the Baptist had disciples. And once they come to him and they were living a life of repentance, do you know John, who wrote the Gospel of John, his brother Andrew, both disciples, do you know what he said to him? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He was the one that pointed to Jesus. He was the one. John the Baptist had a great beginning. He had a great life. He was the man that God had called. He had an horrific death where his head got decapitated. It was cut off his shoulders. But whilst he lived, he was a messenger from God who told people to repent. He lived a life of repentance himself. He lived a life worthy of the calling that God had put on his life. How about you? Are you living up to what God has called you for? Are you living up to what God has called you for? Are you living up to the testimony that God wants from you? Are you living up for these things? John did. What was his message? Go out into the wilderness. Preach. Repentance. Live on only locusts, and I only want you to wear simple things. That's it. This is the message that I've got. John was faithful to it. And what happened? Hundreds of people run out to meet him. Come out to him because he had the words of the Lord. Your testimony has to be right, and you have to give the word of the Lord. You have to speak God's truth, not yours. Understanding God's word and teach people that. And we have to understand that God will use people that are willing to be used by God.
Amen.
Produce fruit. Keep in step with repentance. Don't allow sin into our lives. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, for who you are and what you've done. I thank you for your mercy, your love and your sacrifice. I thank you, Lord God, that for the testimony of your word, my Lord, and the faithfulness of the people that we read about. And even John, my Lord, John the Baptist was faithful to you, my Lord, even to the point, my Lord, that he would go and live out in the wilderness and go and live out in the desert, my Lord God, and do the things that you had called him to be. And I thank you for that, Lord. Lord, I do pray this morning from the example of your word that we would live up to what you've called us to do, and the way that we should live. I do thank and praise you for this, Lord. Lord God. And this morning we've run out of small cups, so these have got juice in them and bread's there, so I'm going to read out the scriptures and you can come forward and take, because the brothers are not going to hand these out. They have to take the table round. So, if you're in this place and you're born again, you want to, you've accepted the Lord, this is for you, this is the table. If you've never accepted the Lord, I'd ask you to pass this by, but even better, come to the front and speak to me or Joseph, and we'll pray with you, and you can accept the Lord as your Lord and Saviour, and be a partaker of this table. I'm going to read this. This is for you, brothers and sisters, this is the time for you to be focused upon the Lord. Take this in the right manner and the right heart, or we judge ourselves. What the Bible says. For I received from the Lord that which also delivered to you. That the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, for not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged." Let's pray. Put ourselves right before the Lord. And when you're ready, come forward, take it. Thank you, Lord.